And you know, that's the attitude that some people have, that the whole world stinks. You don't realize that you got Limburger cheese on your mustache. You don't realize that the problem is you. You don't realize that you are the one with the bad attitude. No, it's everybody else. The whole world stinks because you're right.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Attitude Adjustment, How to Correct a Bad Attitude. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Attitude Adjustment, How to Correct a Bad Attitude.
I want to share a message with you this morning that has been on my heart a couple of weeks. I wanted to start my series today, and I'm going to start a series, and the title of the series is How Great Is Our God? And I'm working on it. I did a lot of work on it yesterday, and it just seems like I couldn't get to the point where I wanted it to be, and God had laid this message on my heart a couple of weeks ago to preach. And so I want to share this message with you. And on Wednesdays, we've been in the book of Jonah. And we've been looking at one of God's prophets, Jonah. We see that, and those of you who have been in the Bible study, you all know the outline for the book of Jonah. In chapter 1, we see Jonah protesting. In chapter 2, we see Jonah praying. In chapter 3, we see Jonah preaching. And then in chapter 4, we see Jonah pouting. So we've memorized that outline in the book of Jonah. Jonah protests. Jonah prays, Jonah preaches, and Jonah pouts. And as we consider the book of Jonah, God called Jonah to go to Nineveh, to preach to the Ninevites. And the Ninevites were a wicked people, according to the word of God. The Ninevites were an evil people. I shared with the Bible study how wicked the Ninevites actually were. One of the things that they would do is they would take their captives alive, and they would take sharp knives and actually flay the skin right off of their bone while they were still alive. The Ninevites, it's recorded in history that they would chop the heads of their the people that they captured. They would chop their heads off, and they would stack them in mounds. And there were mounds and mounds of skulls of people that had been killed by the Ninevites. The Ninevites, when they would capture a king from another country, they would put a ring through his nose, put him on a chain, and lead him through the streets. The Ninevites were some wicked individuals. So God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh and to preach. And Jonah, instead of going to Nineveh, he actually gets on a boat going in the opposite direction. Nineveh was east. And Jonah got on a boat going as far away from Nineveh as he could go. As a matter of fact, if you go back and you study the city that Jonah was going to, which was Tarshish, that was almost like, in some regards, it was like a Club Med. So not only was Jonah trying to get away from the Ninevites and where God was calling him, but Jonah was going to take a little vacation. And we see that as a result of Jonah, his rebellion, that he gets on the boat with these mariners, and they begin to sail toward Tarshish. And in the midst of Jonah's rebellion, the Bible said that, and in the Hebrew is very strong, it says that God threw a storm, that God formed a storm, and that God threw the storm at the boat where Jonah was at. And so the boat was under the pressure of the storm. And everybody began to get concerned. And Jonah was down on the bottom of the ship. He was sleeping. And these guys began to pray to their gods, and they figured that their gods wasn't doing anything, so it must be somebody else's god who brought this storm on. So somebody went down and told Jonah, "Get up, oh sleeper. What are you doing down here sleeping? Get up." And they came up, and they said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm a Hebrew, and I fear God." And they said, "Well, pray to your god." And when they prayed to God, the storm didn't get any better. And so they began to cast lots to see who was causing this problem. And the lot fell on Jonah. And Jonah said, "Man, just go ahead and throw me in the ocean." And the guys, they tried to cut Jonah a little bit of slack. And they said, "Well, look, we'll just row a little harder. And if we row a little harder, maybe we can get out of this storm. And they rowed harder, and the storm got worse. And so finally they threw Jonah overboard. And that Jonah went overboard, and God prepared a fish. And this fish came along and swallowed Jonah up. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish. And he got right. You know, I could preach a message on that right there. Revival in the belly of the fish. And Jonah got his heart right with God in the belly of that fish. And he cried out to God, and he repented. And he said, Lord, I'll do your will. Lord, I'll pay my vows. And then we see that the fish spit Jonah up on the dry land. And Jonah went to Nineveh. And Jonah began to preach to the Ninevites. And his message was 40 days. And Nineveh will be destroyed. That if you don't get right in 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. And we see that everybody in the city repented, from the king all the way down to the people in the streets, that there was a great revival in the city of Nineveh. And that is the story of Nineveh. And we pick it up with chapter 4. So if you would open in your Bibles to Jonah chapter 4, and we'll pick it up there. The scripture says in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly. Well, what displeased him? It displeased him that there was a revival in the city of Nineveh. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and great of kindness, and repenteth thee of the evil. Take now therefore, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made a booth and sat under the shadow that till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. And God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast pity on a gourd for which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? The message that I want to speak to you today on is attitude adjustment. How to correct a bad attitude. How to correct a bad attitude. There was a grandfather who would lie down every afternoon to take a nap. One day his grandchildren decided to play a practical joke on him, and they put Limburger cheese on his mustache. And as they put it on there, as soon as he woke up, he started sniffing. And he said, man, it stinks in this room. He kept on sniffing, and he got up and he went into the kitchen. And he said, it stinks in this kitchen. And then he went outside on the porch. And he said, it stinks outside. He said, as a matter of fact, the whole world stinks. And you know, that's the attitude that some people have, that the whole world stinks. You don't realize that you got Limburger cheese on your mustache. You don't realize that the problem is you. You don't realize that you are the one with the bad attitude. No, it's everybody else. The whole world stinks because you're right. And that's the attitude that we see here in Jonah. Jonah has a bad attitude. He has a bad attitude toward the whole city of Nineveh. And here he should be excited that a whole city came to repentance. He should be excited about the revival that took place. But he goes on a hillside and he sulks and he's upset because he has a bad attitude. Some of you are here today and you have a bad attitude in your marriage. The reason that your marriage is struggling the way that it is today is because you have a bad attitude. Some of you are here today and on your job, the reason that you don't like your job, and I'm sure that there is some good reason, maybe some good cause why you don't like your job, but maybe for some people, the reason that you don't like your job is because you got a bad attitude. There are some people, and I know this, that you don't want to be here today. There's some folks that are here today, that's sitting here today, that don't want to be here. And the whole time you hear, you say, I'm here, but I don't want to be here. You got a bad attitude. You got a bad attitude about being here. You know, just like the little boy that was at the party, and he was acting up. And his mother said, you need to go sit down, son. And he didn't want to sit down. He kept standing up. And she said, you need to go sit down, son. And he didn't want to go sit down. He kept standing up. And finally, she said, you need to go sit down, son. And he went and sat down, and he mumbled under his breath, I might be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up in my heart. So, you know, there's some of you today that you're sitting here, you're hearing the word of God, but you got a bad attitude about being here, that you really don't want to be here. You can think of all the other places that you could be. The place where Pastor Pillow and Reverend Sheets are preaching this morning, that's the place that you want to be. Some of you are involved in ministry, and you got a bad attitude about being in ministry. There was a study that was done, and they listed some things that the world can do without. And they listed about 20 things, but among those 20 things that they listed of things that the world can do without, one of them was poison, another was criminals, another was terrorists, another was war, another was evil pirates, another one was bad internet connections, another one was broken things, and you know what made the list of things that the world could do without? People with bad attitudes. The world can do without people with bad attitudes. Let's look at some characteristics of bad attitudes, and that way you can begin to examine yourself and see if you're sitting here today with a bad attitude. The first characteristic of a bad attitude is anger. Look what it says in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And even as we look in a later verse, we find that God had to rebuke Jonah. In verse 4, he said, the Lord said, dost thou well to be angry? Anger. If you're here today and you got anger in your spirit, the chances are that you got a bad attitude about something. You ever see, and I know I grew up with a bunch of young brothers that would walk around and they were angry. And they didn't want to hear what anybody else had to say. And they had a chip on their shoulder. And you couldn't tell them anything. Why? Because they were angry and they had a bad attitude. And there are some guys today, I see them walking up and down the street. Don't even want to speak to you. Walk right by you. Won't even speak to you. Angry. Bad attitude. Angry. Some people are sitting here today and you have a bad attitude and it's manifesting itself in the form of bitterness. You're here and something happened and you got not only angry, but now you starting to get resentful. It might be against another person. There may be a husband or wife here that something went on in your marriage and now you're bitter towards that individual. And it's reflected in your attitude. You're bitter, and somebody say, well, can you fix me something to eat? Oh, you get your own food. You got a bad attitude. Can you take out the garbage? No, you take it out. Bad attitude. And see, what happens, the bitterness begins to come out when you have a bad attitude. The prodigal son's brother, here the prodigal son wasted his substance on riotous living, got right, came back home, his father threw a party for him, and his older brother was out in the field bitter, upset. He should have been rejoicing, but he was bitter in his spirit. He had a bad attitude. Look at Jonah chapter 4 and verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? God, didn't I tell you that they were going to get right? Didn't I, God, see, I don't even know why you called me to come here. I don't know why you asked me to come, because you knew that they were going to repent. You knew that the city was going to get saved, and you didn't need, why did you call me here anyways? And so bitterness of spirit, and some folk are sitting here today, and you're bitter. You're bitter at people on your job. You're bitter at people in the church. You're bitter with people in your family. And when that bitterness is there, you have a bad attitude that needs to be corrected. Another characteristic of a bad attitude is unforgiveness. Look at chapter 4 and verse 2. And Jonah prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and great of kindness, and repenteth of the evil. The Ninevites were wicked. They were some of the most wicked people on the face of the earth. God said that the reason that he was going to destroy the city was because of their wickedness. And now Jonah reflects on the fact that his people had been tortured by the Hebrews. I mean, by the Ninevites. That Hebrew people had been tortured by the Ninevites. He reflects on the fact that many of those skulls that were in those mounds were his people. He reflects on the fact that one of the kings that they led around in the street by a chain was one of his kings. And he has a hard time thinking that God would forgive them. And so he holds this unforgiveness in his heart. And he goes out, he ministers. For 40 days, he preaches the word of God. For 40 days, he preaches about the grace of God. For 40 days, he serves God. And all the time, he's holding this unforgiveness in his heart. He said, Lord, I don't know why you forgive him. I know that you are a gracious God. I know that you are long-suffering. And these Ninevites don't deserve to be saved. And I don't understand how you can save them. And so Jonah has a problem with unforgiveness. And if you're sitting here today, and there's somebody that as you sit here right now, that you're holding unforgiveness back, that you're holding it in their spirit, you're holding something against them, I guarantee you as I'm standing here today that it's going to come out in a bad attitude, that somehow it's going to be reflected in a bad attitude. The reason that people aren't excited about doing things for other people is some people, they haven't forgiven. The reason that some people aren't excited about ministry anymore is because they haven't forgiven. And Jonah preached a message to a whole city of people, and he had unforgiveness in his heart. Another thing that a bad attitude is reflected in is selfishness. That if you got a bad attitude, it's just going to be about you. It's just going to be about self. Look what Jonah says here, verse 3. Therefore now, O take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. He wanted to die. How selfish is that? Lord, just take me away. I don't even want to be on this earth anymore. God, just things are not going the way that I want them to go, so just take my life. Now, I thought about something. Moses asked God to kill him, but Moses was leading a group of people that were rebellious and that were all the time just causing problems. Elijah asked God to kill him. And the reason that Elijah asked God to kill him, because Jezebel was after him trying to kill him. And so both of those guys got depressed and discouraged, and they asked God to take their life. Jonah asked God to take his life because a whole city of people got saved. How selfish is that? I mean, I can see, you almost would have a reason, never is it right for a person to take their life. And never should you ask God to take your life. God has you here for a reason. He has you here for a purpose. So I'm not advocating that. But at least you can see with Moses and Elijah, that they halfway had a reason for crying out and praying after God. Jonah has no earthly reason to pray and ask God to take his life other than the fact that he's selfish. And I tell you what, a selfish person is a person that got a bad attitude. Why? Because it's all about me. I had a little tea party this afternoon at 3. 'Twas very small, 3 guests in all, just I, myself, and me. I ate all the sandwiches while I drank all the tea. 'Twas also I that ate the pie, now pass the cake to me. See, that's the problem. When we are selfish, we got a bad attitude because then it becomes all about us. Sulking is another characteristic of a bad attitude. Look at verse 5, sulking. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. Sulking. I'm displeased, and I'm going to let God know that I'm displeased. I'm not going to get in here and get excited. He should have been down there rejoicing with the people. He should have been down there counseling the king. He should have been down there counseling leaders and say, how can we make this revival work? How can we organize this thing and make sure that the fire continues on? But what does he do? He goes on the side of a hill, and he begins to sulk. You know, little kids do that, right? When they got a bad attitude, they sulk. You know why? Because they want attention. They want somebody to come and say to them, hey, Johnny, what's wrong? Oh, why is that? And so you begin to sulk. And as adults, you know, we got a way to sulk. We don't sulk like kids, but we got a way of sulking. You know, we got a way of sitting there and kind of looking off into space like we're uninterested, like we're unconcerned, and we sulk. Why? Because we got a bad attitude. And a fourth character, a last characteristic of a bad attitude is apathy. You just don't care. You just don't care. We read it. I'm not going to read them right now. But a whole city got saved. And Jonah was more concerned about a gourd. He was more concerned about a plant than he was about 80,000 people that got right with God. How many people are here today? And you're more concerned about material possessions than you are about the souls of people. You're sitting here today and you're more concerned about the things of this world. And don't get me wrong, if God has blessed us with things, then we need to take care of those things. There's no question about that. We need to take care of those things. And God has blessed many people with a lot of things. But when we are more concerned about things than we are about the souls of people, look what God tells Jonah in the last verse. He says in verse 11, should I not spare Nineveh, that great city where are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand? There are all these people there, Jonah, that they can't even discern what is right and what's wrong. They don't know the way to God. They don't know the ways of God. Should I not be concerned about them? And then look what he told him in the preceding verse. He said, the Lord said, you had more pity on a gourd for which you didn't labor for, that you didn't make grow. It came up in a night and it perished in a night. A gourd that grew up in the night, and the next morning it was gone. And Jonah, here you are. You are so consumed with that material possession. Here you are. You're so consumed with a plant that you forgot about all the souls of these people over here. Wow. That's deep. And so we become apathetic. We got a bad attitude.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Greatness of God Seen in Creation. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Attitude Adjustment, How to Correct a Bad Attitude, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Attitude Adjustment, How to Correct a Bad Attitude. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Attitude Adjustment, How to Correct a Bad Attitude. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, the website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.